Christy, ma'am, so I don't forget, I have this. Don't let me walk out with it.
Hey, Scott. There's still a few seats up here.
Go ahead and get started. We've already called the meeting to order. Mayor and Council met in closed session from 5:30 to 5:58 for legal advice. No decisions were made. We will go ahead and start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we have Pastor Stanford Ricks for our invocation. Please step up to the podium. Thank you.
Hello. We, the members of the FMA, would like to thank you, the mayor, and the council for allowing us to come and pray at the beginning of these council meetings. So we'll really thank you for that. May we pray. Our Holy Father, we thank you for this council and ask you to give them the wisdom to move our community towards growth. We need to grow and bring more jobs for our community. Show us, God, how to grow at the right pace and maintain the beautiful environment of our community. Let growth unite us and give our youth a reason to settle down here and not move away. Let the love of God hold us together. May the blessings of the Lord be upon our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rick.
You're back.
Okay, next we have public comment. If you're here for public, yes, Bart.
I have an announcement to make.
Step up to the podium.
Thank you.
Please state your name and where you live.
Barton Johnson, 106 Charlotte Avenue, Federalsburg, Maryland. I'm a member of the Federalsburg Historical Society. The Federalsburg Historical Society will be having their Heritage Day Saturday, October the 15th. We're going to have several speakers, one of which is Mitch Northam. He's a Colonel Richardson High School graduate. He'll be showcasing his book, High School Basketball on Maryland's Eastern Shore. And also subtitled A Shore Hoops History. The book traces history of the sport on the Delmarva Peninsula. And this year's event will also feature keynote speaker Tom Horton. Tom Horton is also a Colonel Richardson graduate. He's also a Johns Hopkins graduate. He attributes the Marshy Hope Creek as his tributary. Is a longtime environmental writer, or was a longtime environmental writer for the Baltimore Sun. He's now an adjunct professor at Salisbury University. He will speak at 11 o'clock on Saturday about growing up in the Federalsburg area and the Marshy Hope Creek.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, what are the hours, Mark?
I'm sorry, if I didn't mention, it's 10 until 4.
Okay.
And Tom is scheduled to speak at 11 on Saturday.
Okay.
And what
you.
Time is Mitch speaking?
I don't have a time for him.
Okay. Anybody else? Mr. Thomas?
My name's Jim Thomas. I'm 319 South University Avenue. And I got to ask Kathleen and the mayor and the lawyer one thing. Why wasn't the town people involved in some of these things that's going on? Why are we getting a marijuana plant inside of our town limits and not people not knowing anything about it?
So it's been posted on the agendas, and we've been discussing it for the last 4 meetings.
But you should have sent letters out to the citizens of Thunderbird telling them what was going on about this. I was in the military for 30 years. I don't believe in marijuana. Marijuana does nothing but put you out on a high. I don't care how it's medical marijuana, what it is. And I don't want it around me. I don't have it around me. And I really don't want it in the town. We're losing a lot of good people out of this town because of the things going on at this council meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Mr.
My name is Frank Adams, 6962 Reliance Road, Bellsburg, Maryland. First off, I want to add on to what he said there. I'm a member of the Economic Development Committee in Bedellburg. We were never, ever notified about this business wanting to come into Bedellburg so we could at least give our opinion on this. Why wasn't that done?
So they reached out to us through Caroline County Economic Development, and that's how the process started
the
with them. Caroline County Economic Development?
No, I'm in the Federal Department of Economic Development.
Yes.
And I'm also in the, I'm a past member of the county, but I'm in the Federal Department of Economic Development now. I heard all about this through the grapevine. Nothing. And none of our members on the Economic Development Committee were ever, ever notified about this business wanting to come to town. We have experience on people wanting to come in town. I've been 40 years in the business. And we have experience on people wanting to come in town. What's it going to do to the town? What are the good points? What are the bad points? You know, and we do research on it before we give her okay. We were never notified. Can you give me a reason why?
They came to the town. They presented at the meetings. They actually had a really good presentation, and there's quite a few people in the room that were here for that presentation.
Well, that's where I heard it through the grapevine. But protocol would have told me that the town should have notified. That's what we're here for. We're volunteers. We don't get paid a penny for this. But we'd like to know what's going on before it's all over town.
Okay.
You think that'll change in the future?
I mean, we can certainly ask for. Economic development like us to do? I mean, would you like to?
If there's a prospect coming to town, we'd like to know about it. We'd like to be in on the meetings, and give our opinion on yes, this is something we need, or no, it's not something we need. You know, but you never give us that opportunity.
Okay, I mean, we can certainly make sure everybody is included when they come for a council meeting for presentation as well.
Well, if there's a council meeting and somebody's going to be here, maybe it'd be a good idea to let the Economic Development Commission know there's going to be somebody at that meeting that night.
That's what we present on the agenda and post. But we can certainly, if you don't follow it on Facebook or follow it on the website, we can certainly see if there's a better way for us to distribute the town agenda.
I'd like to see that be something that the town does.
Okay.
and make it official.
Okay.
Frank, they have requested a joint workshop. They have, MAS has requested a joint workshop.
A workshop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we haven't set a date yet, but
we'll
they are
invited to that.
I'll see why not.
Okay. And I've got so many things about this that I've developed into, and I was glad to see in the little note that was put out that you're talking about the purging of the plants. I never heard about that until this past week, that they're going to purge these tanks several times a year. And that's going, what I was told, I don't know if it's true or not, that this water is going to go into the Marsh Hope without any testing or anything, just going in there. And I was told that the company says, oh, no, that's going to be plain water. But they're going to take water out of these tanks and put it into the Marsh Hope without being tested. Is that true?
No, the water would have to be tested. Anything that gets discharged into the Marshy Hope would have to be tested.
Somebody may have told me something wrong, but that's what I heard. And I don't know how many millions of gallons that'll be. If they've got all these tanks in there and they're going to purge them, I don't know how far down they would purge them, but I would assume it'd be half or three quarters of the water that would be in there, if not more. And that's going to go into Marsh Hope in addition to the 2.3 million gallons that's going to go in there anyhow. So I think that's it. I'm glad you put it in there, and I'm glad you're sending that on. I apologize for that.
Thank you.
Can I just say something to that, Mr. Frank?
Yes.
It is my understanding, and again, only my understanding, the only tanks they are purging is the fresh water at the end of the cycle. The other tanks they have are recycling these water. So the only water being discharged is the 2.3 million gallons. It's no more than that.
Haven't they put two discharge tubes into the river?
Plan shows one,
and right now they've not asked for anything for us for any of them. So,
okay. Well, I appreciate that information, because I say I'm just hearing everything through the grapevine.
And again, for all y'all to understand, we don't have a firm set of plans. So when I say what I know, that's just from past conversations, and every time we've talked, it's changed. So just know it's 2.3 million is all I've ever heard. Nothing additional than that.
And the meeting on the 19th, that's where they explained
right.
Was it true
the
that
discharge.
They have over 90 acres that they've bought already?
I don't know what they bought. I've not looked it up online to see if they have ownership of either the properties or not.
How much has been annexed into the Frank Adams Industrial Park?
211.
211.
11
acres?
211.
211 acres. Okay.
That tells you something.
Oh, I have. Thank you.
Mary Webb, 111 West Central Avenue. Is the cannabis thing a done deal?
So they've purchased the building. They have come before planning and zoning and asked for some demolition for what they're doing with the craft building, and that their demo permit was approved for some of the construction up there.
And there's going to be a field of planted cannabis?
So they are planning on planting outside, yes,
well, that
correct.
Smells.
So what they have
smells.
So it when the plant blooms in September and October, there can be an odor.
Well,
it varies off of per strain. So it's not just it varies per strain. So they have what's called, it's kind of, I'll give you the abridged version because they went through this at the meetings that they've been presenting at. They have what's called like a Febreze for outside grow. And it sprays and it suppresses the cannabinoids that cause the smell. It's terpenes that cause the smell. The spray that they have suppresses it from the air. Most of the time it will be an internal grow inside the buildings, and it will be... They have to have air scrubbers. This is state sanctioned by the state of Maryland. They have pages and pages and pages of what they have to be able to do in order to even get their license from the state of Maryland. So the stuff that they're going to be, most of the time it will be an indoor grow, and it will be, they have air scrubbers. So there shouldn't be any smell coming out of the plant either.
It's just strange, though, that I've been congratulating our police department on what they've been doing to get drugs out of the community, and then we're bringing them in.
So this is, again, this is a state, it's state legal medical cannabis. The only, they can't, they're not selling. It's medical, right now, it's medical grade.
Well, that wasn't
yes.
ever mentioned.
It's medical, so the only companies that are currently growing right now in the state of Maryland are medical cannabis growers that are state licensed. It is heavily regulated. There is top security. They have certain parameters, and if they fail on any of those parameters, they lose that license. So it's
that
all
been broadcast to the community.
It's all state.
Marijuana is coming.
So it's a medical cannabis place. And we can clarify that on the postings that we post that it's medical cannabis, not recreational. Okay. And the only way they can get it, it's not a dispensary, is that people would still be going to Cambridge or Stevens or wherever the other cannabis dispensaries are on the shore or Annapolis. But it's medical, it's not recreational.
May I say something on that?
Yes.
Medical marijuana. Need to stand up.
Yes, please. Thank you. Just so it's on the recording.
Okay. Through my 40 plus years of work of economic development, I've visited a lot of plants, a lot of places. And three of us from Fettlesburg, your chief of police, and who else is? Three of us went over on the western shore and toured a plant that was there, exactly what you're talking about here. It was the cleanest, neatest, well-kept, I've just never been to a plant that everything was so safe and so secure. You were photographed when you went into the plant. You had to wear a certain gear to go into the plant, headgear. There was places where that could be exploded in that process, but they had blowout walls for that, and they were self-contained. It was just the neatest building I was ever in. And there's a lot of businesses that could be a lot worse than that building there. And I know that my brother, for one, has used cannabis. He doesn't use it anymore. I don't know how much good it did him, but there's a lot of people that use it. And it's going to be around somewhere. And I personally wouldn't have a whole lot of problem with it.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, my name is Alan Gerard. I'm the Eastern Shore Director with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, 114 South Washington Street, Easton, Maryland. I just wanted to read a paragraph from the minutes of the Caroline County Planning Commission meeting. This is from October 14th, 2020. This is in regards to, I believe the commission was sitting to certify consistency with the county's comprehensive plan, the amendment to the county water and sewer plan that would allow the Aquacotton project to move forward. There's essentially three different discharges, as I understand it, associated with the project. One, of course, the 2.3 million gallon direct discharge to the Marshy Hope of purge water that the Department of the Environment has the authority to approve. The second is, in this note, it says 80,000 gallons per day that would come to the town of Fettlesburg. I think they're talking around 50,000 now. So let me just read this paragraph to describe that second. And then the third one, which is what folks seem to have some confusion about. I don't know if this clears it up. Let me read the paragraph. Aquacon's requesting 80,000 gallons per day allocation from the town's wastewater treatment plant. The proposed facility will also require allocation of additional wastewater treatment plant capacity for periodic and unscheduled sanitary sewer demands associated with unexpected conditions that require draining individual process lines with one-time discharge demands of approximately 7 million gallons per occurrence. They say one time, and then they say per occurrence. Again, this is from the minutes of the Caroline County Planning Commission. The aquaculture facility will be equipped with tankage that can retain the 7 million gallon discharge, which would be discharged to the wastewater treatment plant, the town's, over a period of time at an equalized flow rate that can be accommodated by the wastewater treatment plant.
If that's true, I meant not. Let me rephrase that. Not if it's true, obviously true.
No, it's
just
in the minutes,
right. That's I didn't mean it that way. a water plant, a water and treatment plant can only handle 800,000, 750?
750.
They're already, we're at 350. They're going to add 54. So we're at 4. So you're talking another 300,000 a day if they did that. So, I mean, they would be 300,000 divided into 7 million. It would be spread out over whatever that number of days would be. 25. How many?
Like 25.
The one conversation I ever heard from Aquacon was that the 7 million gallons, if they ever needed it, and the way it was explained the one time it was ever presented was, well, you know how you have to clean your fish tank. I had a fish tank. Of course we know how you have to clean your fish tank. Put the fish in another tank, put more water in. Okay. The idea was that there would be released over 90 to 100 days. Ballpark 65,000 gallons a day extra coming to the plant, which is not an amendment to the county's comprehensive water and sewer plant. So that would be a rider or an amendment, and the plant could handle the capacity. One day it might not be able to. So whatever the life cycle of the proposed plant is, at a certain point, we always have to have in reserve at least that much that we have to allocate on this cleaning the fish tank approach, or, you know, a fish kill or whatever they may have to do to clean that, to clear that 7 million gallons of water. But the idea is it would be coming in equal proportions over, as explained it to me the one time, 90 to 100 days.
I mean, if this is a fact or an issue that is unclear to the town, I mean, it does directly relate to the approval from the Maryland Department of Environment to issue the permit for this facility. If you have questions or uncertainty about what the project is proposing, driven, I guess, by whether the applicant, the Aquacon company, is being clear and forthcoming with the information that you need to make an appropriate decision, your obligation is to, in writing, ask the Maryland Department of Environment to abandon this permitting process. You don't know what's being considered for approval here. And, you know, for the citizens here, the right thing to do is say, MDE, please abandon the permitting process. We need more information. We need to revisit.
Mr. Rourke,
did you get
a copy of this? Because you did not get a seat. Okay. So,
can we maybe skip to that and go through the letter and see if that answers questions before we go any farther?
Yeah. I just gave Alan my copy. Yes. Watch the cables.
Yes.
Don't need to take out the owl.
Gloria Dolan, 5116 Williamsburg Road, Furlough. I'm about two miles outside of the town. If what this gentleman here said about they're going to discharge us over 90 to 100 days, there is nothing that I see in their plans where they would be able to store 7 million gallons to be able to send it out over a timely fashion. And if they have to emergency get rid of it, you know, clean the tanks and put new fish in because they have a fish kill, they have to get rid of that water because they're going to refill with clean water. I mean, I don't know how what they say they're going to do, they have the capability of doing, and 7 million gallons that they would have to discharge basically immediately would definitely overrun your treatment plant because they can only handle 750,000 gallons a day. So I really don't know how they think that that's a plan to handle any kind of emergency that they would have to do. And that's my only comment. I mean, it doesn't add up. I mean, they do have, I think it's five or eight big tanks that they're supposed to put out front, but the volume of those tanks doesn't amount to 7 million gallons in any way, fashion, or no way. I just wanted to bring that, make sure you understood that.
We do, and again, we haven't really seen any plans.
Okay.
So.
I know, because I've been looking too. There's no plans. Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, Susan Andrews, 680
learned anything at all as citizens right now is that we have to attend the meetings on a regular basis, and we just can't let it just think that everybody else is going to take care of it. I really feel like if I don't even live in town, and I get messages all the time about on email, on text, and on my voicemail about trash pickup, and I don't even live in town. So I feel like if I can get notified 3 times about a scheduled trash pickup, I can get notification regarding possible businesses, you know, wanting to locate in the town. As far as that goes, I've been trying to do some research and find out what went on, like during from this. I've been going through the information on this page here, annexation and Appleton from the town page. The meeting that was held during the pandemic, November 2nd, the public hearing and meeting. When I click on that, it says the meeting is 1 hour and 11 minutes, but it cuts off after 21 minutes. You can't hear the rest of it.
Okay. So, that might be something with the website for, we'll have to check to see. I'll take a look to see what the link goes, where it goes.
You can hear the beginning where Ryan Showalter makes his pitch, but then right after when he's at near the end of his pitch, you can't hear anything else. It just automatically cuts off.
Okay, we'll
so
check the recording.
You can't hear the rest of the meeting, which is probably like 50 minutes.
What date is that?
The November 3rd.
November 3rd, 2020. That's where you adopted the ordinances, the annexation, the right-of-way, and I think it was 2020-06, 2020-07, and 2020-02.
We can check the recordings. Thank you. Okay. So, seeing as how most of you are probably here for the letter that we were just discussing, we're going to go to the discussion of the approval to submit comments regarding the proposed Aquacon facility draft discharge permit to the Maryland Department of the Environment. Those of you in the audience have a copy of the letter that Mayor and Council will be sending, basically asking for more information. For the decision on the discharge permit to be based on more information and receiving more information. So we can make extra copies of the letter, and this will be posted on the town website after the meeting. We all signed it tonight. So can I have a motion to adopt the letter and have it submitted officially to the Maryland Department?
I move to adopt the text of the letter asking MDE to deny the discharge permit and submit that letter under public comment.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Does anybody else have any other questions about the letter? Yep. Oh. We can make more copies. And we'll post it online. It'll be available on that same website. Okay, next we have... online, or do you guys have it? Is there any other public comment unrelated to Aquacon? Please step up now. Anybody who doesn't want to talk about fish, please step up to the podium. Okay, hearing none. Next, we have approval of the minutes, previous month's minutes. Minutes were distributed. Is there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
It talks about Norris Colonna. Is that Keith Colonna's real name, or is that his dad's name?
I'll verify that.
Okay.
Norris is his father.
That's what I wasn't sure if he was like Norris Keith and went by Keith, but that was my only comment about the minutes.
Okay, so we can have a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
So moved.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the solar panel project wrap up. Mr. Kane?
Sure.
Thank you very much for your time, council members, mayor. I just wanted to come by and let you know that we've wrapped up the project and it's going to be transferred over to the town this week. The solar farm has been up and producing electricity for the past year. We've been monitoring it during that time and it's performing very well. We've had a few tweaks and things like that to software. I'm making sure everything is operating correctly, but I can certify that it's all operating correctly, and we're ready to turn it over to you. So that's the bottom line of what I wanted to come out and just mention to you. I'd also mention that there's been some talk about having a ribbon cutting. I'm very much in favor of having a ribbon cutting, and I discussed it with the town manager. I also had the opportunity this past week to talk to Governor Hogan and Comptroller Peter Francia. They were both very instrumental in approving the grant for this project, and they're both interested in coming to a ribbon cutting. It seems like the pacing item is, guess what, the schedule of the governor. So depending on what his schedule is, everything else could fall in place if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, that would be. I think that would be nice to have. It was nice that they gave us the money to help us save some money on our electric, and we truly appreciate us helping save money on our electric, that's for sure. So if we can facilitate the ribbon cutting, I think that would be wonderful.
Okay, we can coordinate on that, but I'll work to find out what its schedule is and let you know.
Okay.
You said it's performing well. What's the output?
What's the output?
How much electricity is it actually creating?
Not counting the last 4 days when it's been.
Yeah.
It's a day-by-day thing. Well, the good news is the panels got washed the last couple of days.
That is true.
Peak performance whenever we get some more sun. But basically, the size of the array is 749 kilowatts. And it's been producing about 120 megawatt hours of electricity every month. So on an annual basis, we're expecting something a little over 1,000 megawatt hours to be produced. And that should cover the electricity needs of your wastewater treatment plant and provide some good income from what we call SRECs, Solar Renewable Energy Certificates. So you'll get a check back for that every year for the amount produced. So it's all running very well, and everything is reported correctly, so things are moving, have moved forward very well. So it's been a long project. I was looking back, it was October of 2019 when we got the award, and we were complete on everything. We started, I guess, your notice to proceed was in August of 2020, and we were basically complete at the end of that year. We waited a whole other year for Delmarva to get all of their operations in place. It took them, I guess, 10 or 11 months to finally get everything approved, and it's all approved. And we've been producing electricity for the past year. So I'm here to answer whatever questions you have. Or
I don't have any questions. We appreciate it. Thank you for helping offset those bills. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. But we're going to be turning it over, and so then you'll have the responsibility to operate it and insure it and run it. I'm around, so if there are any questions that pop up, I'm glad to help out.
Is there an instruction manual that came with it?
Yes.
Just make sure that's where we can find it.
Thank you. We appreciate your partnership with us. It's been a great project, and I'm enjoying working with everybody, so thank you very much.
We appreciate it. It was a long time coming. We're glad we have it. Thank you. Next, we have the request to end municipal trash collection services, Laurel Grove Acres Apartments.
Madam Mayor, Members of Council,
at the request of Laurel Grove Apartments, Mr. Turner came and spoke to me September 6th. The letter attached is on September the 8th, and it is a request to remove Laurel Grove Acres Apartments from residential trash collection provided by the town. Laurel Grove Acres is a 73-unit residential apartment complex with fenced-in pens that hold a variety of trash receptacles currently. The apartment complex functions really as a commercial facility, more than a single-family residential, so the need for large-scale volume on-site hauling is kind of clear. Staff understands the interest supporting this request and recommends granting the request, since the property can receive an equal or better level of service from a contractor hired by the management company.
Does anybody have any comments or questions about it?
Yes, my question, I guess, Larry, is for you. What's that going to do to the cost of service for every other resident right now?
Because we're not incurring the cost anymore. Private holders are incurring the cost.
But the price we're paying right now for trash.
Right, but we also priced out with big time what the,
we
what
did?
The removal of the...
Because I was thinking he said it might change if some of them started dropping off. No?
It's per unit. It's per unit.
Okay.
Will we grant the request?
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you for... Thank you for working with us. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Will
we get something, Mr. Larry? No, I said I kept my mouth closed. Will we get something in the mail, or out of it, and when?
Yeah, both. We'll have to work out when. That's why our contract doesn't show up. Also, we've still got those 300-gallon cans up there that
right,
I know you don't want anymore.
Right, exactly.
So they'll hold them off.
But we'll have to get a service in place for ourselves before you pick up your
containers.
Okay.
Yeah, so guarantee this week it's still no changes.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Larry.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, next we have Chapter 65, Ethics Ordinance Text Amendments.
Yes. So the town of Federalsburg, as you all know in your town code, has an ethics ordinance. There is a state ethics commission, and in the last legislative session, there was House Bill 363 and House Bill 1058, both of which amended the public ethics law and COMAR, which established the local ethics commissions. Guidelines. So the state sent out a letter stating that all entities have to update their ethics codes to be compliant with these new House bills. I provided you all a copy with the amendments in bold. Briefly going through the list, you had to add a definition for quasi-governmental entity, prohibit gift acceptance from associations engaged in representing counties or municipal or corporations, so you can't receive a gift from MACO, as an example, or NML. Prohibit disclosure of confidential information by former official or employee. The original ethics code just says a current official or employee, so it also applies to former. It prohibits retaliation against individuals for reporting ethics violations or participating in an ethics investigation. Prohibits disclosure of amount of consideration received from University of Maryland Medical Systems, state or local government entities. You now, in your disclosure, when you go to run and annually in your disclosure, have to include your business or any business for which you owe a percentage of, and also if your business trades as another specific name, so you can't only identify the one business. And you have to disclose gifts from associations. One of the things that you all will have to decide is the town of Federalsburg received a waiver when the ethics law was originally passed in 2011 or 2012, waiving your requirements to comply with lobbying restrictions. And the state determined that based on the size of the town of Federalsburg and Federalsburg's budget, because it is a compliance issue. It costs money, time, and effort to regulate all of these things. I included the lobbying restrictions within here. It's not necessarily prohibiting you all from lobbying. It requires anyone who wants to come in front of the mayor and council with the intent of basically lobbying, they have to file a certificate with your ethics commission to make the ethics commission aware of that ahead of time. So it's any person who personally appears before any town official, board, or employee with the intent to influence the person in performance of his or her official duties, and in connection with such intent, expends or expects to expend in excess of $250 on food, entertainment, or whatever. Again, this is not something that's in your current ethics ordinance. It is something you are waived from complying with, but since we were doing the amendment, I figured I would add it in, and you all can decide whether to include it or not.
Do you guys have any questions?
Because this is pretty much the boilerplate.
Yeah, so I made the amendment. I sent it to the state ethics commission. They reviewed it. They approved it, said it was consistent with the House bill. They confirmed that you all are waived from the lobbying. However, you know, it's your discretion if you want to include them. And this would be available for introduction and scheduling a public hearing.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with that.
Okay, so do we need a motion to
introduce and schedule a public hearing?
Okay, so can I have a motion to introduce ordinance 2022-07, an ordinance of the mayor and council of Federalsburg to repeal in its entirety and reenact Chapter 65 of the Federalsburg Town Code to provide ethics provisions applicable to the local elected officials, employees, and appointees to the boards and commissions of the town of Federalsburg.
Make a motion to introduce ordinance 2022-07.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. And do we want to schedule the public hearing at the same time?
Yeah, so, Christy, I take this. Is this 2208?
Yes.
Okay. So, amend that. So, it's ordinance 2208. I had revised it, sent it to Christy, and didn't realize before it was posted. There is a public hearing for the animals ordinance. Do you want to have these both on the same night and have it at your first November meeting?
I think that works.
Sure.
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
So do we need a motion to have the public hearing for ordinance 2022-08?
Yes, on November 7th.
I make a motion that we schedule the public hearing for ordinance number 2207 or 08. Sorry.
Thank you.
On November 7th, 2022.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have Old Denton Road Water Main Project Update.
Mayor, members of council, this is still in play. I was anticipating getting some information from our engineer on Friday. Didn't happen. Anticipating some information from our engineer today, didn't happen. So that'll just wait until we have more information from our engineer on a couple of matters that have come up with that project. Otherwise, it's proceeding along.
The ones that were left off the initial.
That's what we're.
Okay.
That's what we're working on.
Okay.
All right, so hopefully we'll have information by the next meeting
tomorrow,
for that one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next we have informational report on the town industrial well use permit process, industrial water, and sewer connection process to include fee structure and related matters. Town Manager DeRay?
Madam Mayor, members of council, this is an informational report. Again, I encourage folks who typically don't come to our meetings or from another jurisdiction to always go to the town website. We will find the agenda packet in total. So if you haven't seen this report with the attachments, I encourage you to do so. The same thing for the attachments, for the agenda packet attachments that was posted for September 19th meeting. 75 pages of reading that everyone who has an interest in AquaCon should read. This is I will read the report into the record. It's in the record. Again, you can find it on the website. But if you've got that pulled up in front of you, there are a few things that are worth particularly pointing out. The proposed project has raised a great deal of interest in the town's water and sewer utility processes and regulations. So here we go. The attachments are, and I list the attachments. The first attachment, what's called Attachment A, is Chapter 235 of the Town Code, which is the water and sewer services, and addresses water and sewer services in the broadest terms. So this includes providing definitions and the fee structures. This itself is not an ordinance review. That's a worthwhile exercise, because the ordinance could be made stronger, but that's not what we're here for tonight. That's for another day. A number of things that are discussed there. I wanted to bring your attention again, if you've got it in front of you, particularly the Article 2, which is Sections 235.11 to 235.21. It defines the town's cross-connection and backflow regulatory and inspection processes. As stated therein, the purpose of this article is to ensure the public drinking water supply is not and cannot be tainted or infiltrated by any pollutants or contaminated from any user on-site operations or processes. AquaCon, again, has not provided any preliminary engineering reports or design drawings of its operations. It's understood that a vast amount of water is on-site. On the 19th, we learned that at any given point in time, there might be 40, 50 million gallons of water on-site. So what our engineer has suggested, consulting engineer, which is GMB, that GMB was selected by way of a public process that was publicly advertised last fall. They were interviewed in this room with a number of other engineering firms on November the 30th. Mayor and Council interviewed the firms, made determinations, and selected GMB as the best firm to provide professional engineering services to the town of Federalsburg. The previous engineer who is associated with the AquaCon project is not the town engineer. That firm is finishing off a few projects, including the Old Denton Road. Once Old Denton Road water main is done, we have no working relationship with that firm unless and until they bid for a project already. And right now, GMB is working on task orders, so that's how that excludes Mr. Rao and Rao's engineering from any work currently with the town, certainly any that relates to water and wastewater, except the putting in of this water main on Old Denton Road, 2,700 linear feet. If anybody's interested in that, please come to my office, and I'm happy to look at site plans with you. So what did our engineer, GMB, recommend? They recommended a full plumbing plan, which shows where all the lines and connections are going to be, with the idea that that would do the best that we can to ensure that there are no cross connections between any of their operational water and the sewer discharge, other than what's supposed to be going into the sewer discharge. Again, not having any plans in front of us, this is a requirement that our engineers recommended, and it should be a requirement that we have in place. Additionally, this chapter can be strengthened through some text amendments, especially related to the role of the town engineer or engineering consulting firm, making actual technical-based recommendations to the mayor and council as part of a public process. Because right now we don't specifically say that, but specifically citing that in the ordinance would make it so. That's attachment one, which is section 235, all of which is water and sewer related. Attachments B and C are specific to the role of the mayor and council in issuing a groundwater use permit for a private well as a water source for industrial processes. Attachment B, and again, if you take a look, I'll get into the attachments. This is something AquaCon knows full well. Attachment B is a section from the town code, actually two sections, sections 239, 12 and 239.8, in which they define the process of the mayor and council review and approval of a industrial well for a private well for industrial use. That includes at least one public hearing, by the way, and also it sets the fee structure. 239-86 sets the fee structure, so we'll know how much they can be charged. They'll know how much they're charging and the financial benefit accrues to the town. Attachment C is a letter, which again was in the September 19th packet. Attachment C is a letter dated May 22nd, 2020. It's one of the town's earliest correspondences with Aquacon leadership, clearly stating any groundwater appropriation is subject to permit, application, and approval by both the state and the town. To this date, and I checked on this last week, so things changed today, I stand corrected, but when this was posted, which was last Wednesday, as of that date, a full 28 months after that May letter, of May 2020 letter, Aquacon has taken no action in this town permitting process. And we learned two weeks ago that Aquacon has taken no action in the state permitting process, to which the state says it's about an 18-month process. So if you're doing your bank charters to see what Aquacon needs to do and what the time frame looks like, it's pretty far off. And again, it's one of the, if you notice in the letter, it's one of the things that the town's interested in is we call it a discharge permit and also an appropriation permit. Attachment D is a letter dated October 9th, 2020 from the town attorney to Caroline County requesting the amendment to the county's comprehensive water and sewerage plan. At that date, an amendment totaling 80,000 gallons per day of domestic and some processed wastewater going into the town treatment plant was requested and ultimately approved by the county commissioners. That was read into the record a little while ago. Since that amendment, Aquacon has indicated the amount of wastewater treated at the town plant was reduced to 50 to 60 gallons per day. Again, the town has more than enough capacity. In any event, the plan was amended and the plant has more than enough capacity to handle a flow. So what that letter represents is the only formal request received from Aquacon regarding access to the town's treatment plant. Now we get into something that's also been brought up, and if you're familiar with the Aquacon permit, we've seen this before. This gets into the, and as the staff report says, all right, I'll read it verbatim. While conceptually the treatment plant can be upgraded to accommodate a phosphorus and nitrogen treatment load offset for any other facility discharging into a marsh or creek, the town has not been requested to do so. No preliminary engineering report has been provided to the town for review. No operation and maintenance program has been provided to the town. There is no life cycle costing estimate from a competent professional engineer, and no documentation requesting the town plant and permit as the appropriate site for an offset has been provided to the Maryland Department of Environment. So, based on the town engineer discussion, that too is about a 6 to 9 month process just to get the preliminary engineering report done for any physical improvement and filtration at the wastewater treatment plant. To this date, none of that's been done as well. So, Madam Mayor and Council, this is provided for information only at the time, pending any discussion, provide direction to staff, or I can answer any questions that I can answer.
Thank you. Do you guys have any questions on it?
I think I'm good.
Excuse me, will you entertain questions from the floor?
Sir, if I can answer them, I'm not from Aquacon. I can answer what the town does.
Well, I got a few questions out of what you were just reading.
Sure.
When I was looking at it online. And you've answered most of them, but I did have in one place on page 55 of the, or 54, of the packet, it said that the wastewater treatment plant capacity was 750 gallons per day. I'm sorry, 1,000 gallons per day. But then on the next page, it said 1,350,000 gallons per day.
I think that's water.
That's the water system.
Oh, okay.
I actually read that too the wrong way because I thought, oh, there's a typo in there, but the 1.3 was for the water system, not the wastewater.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and conceptually, again, the again, if you're in town, you know, if you're not in town, the two town water tanks hold about 550,000 gallons. So out of appropriation of 1.3 million gallons a day, it just gives a show of what we've got in reserve. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know what containing a half a million gallons of water looks like our two water tanks, spatially.
Right, so the 7 million gallons that they claim that they're going to store on site until they can discharge it is going to be a lot bigger than your two tanks.
Correct.
So, yeah, I don't see how they're going to do that. Another question. Well, actually, this doesn't really apply to Aquacon. I just noticed that 235-17, periodic testing of the code of the town of Fellowsburg, only references reduced pressure principle backflow devices. But there were like five or six different types listed, the double checks and such. You don't require periodic testing of the other types?
I'm sure we do, as a recommendation from our engineer, even if we don't have any ordinance.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's a good point for text amendment.
Right. Personally, I think it should be in there. And 235-21, high hazard uses. That includes additional precautions the owner has to take to protect the public water supply. Has the town classified Aquacon's facility as a high hazard?
No, we've classified them as significant use, which is about 25,000 gallons of wastewater.
Right. But they could potentially contaminate not the city's water, but the well's water.
Correct.
The aquifer.
Correct.
They're going to have roughly 1,800 feet, considering they've shrunk their building and now they've gone taller. So we're looking at about 780 psi of negative pressure at the wellhead. If you have a failure in their system, then they could potentially suck their tanks, their fish tanks, that down into the aquifer. And I know you haven't got any plans, but there needs to be a fail-safe system with at least two, you know, backflow prevention systems.
And again, if you, and I appreciate that. Again, we haven't had anything to give to our engineer, in which case I'm sure we have a lot more clear discussion about precisely those issues because a competent engineer will point them out to us.
Right.
As far as the language of the mayor and council considering a private well for industrial use, it does talk in there about protecting the public water system. Now, public water system, you can interpret two ways. Obviously, interpret that as the town distribution treatment and distribution system.
Right.
Also consider the drinking water of people in wells who are proximate to the property. So, again, that gets into what about the groundwater discharge or recharge? You know, what kind of I don't want to say contaminants, pollutants. What kind of stuff is going to go from that processed water into the groundwater?
Right.
And we don't know. That's not presented. There's been no answer on that.
And I don't know if you if it's been reported to you, but the 1,700 foot down that aquifer has no groundwater recharge. It's open to the Atlantic Ocean. And it's only the pressure in that aquifer that keeps the salt water from migrating in. So if they start pulling out all this water, they're going to have salt water infiltration. And that's the drinking water for, you know, future generations that we're not tapping at this point.
Where did you say we could get the information that you read?
Townoffederalsburg.org, Annexation and Aquacon. Roll down.
It's there. Okay.
All there.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question. It's my understanding that there was a well on the chicken farm that they bought. And it should, I mean, it was supplying the chicken houses so it would have a permit, an allocation permit, or I don't know if it's from the state or whatever. When you annex property into the town, does that permit automatically, I mean, could Aquacon use that well to pull water out to use without going through the town process of permitting a private industrial well?
That's a good question, because I don't know if that well has been...
I'm sorry, I was asking a question. What was the question?
It's my understanding that there is a well that was permitted, for, I guess by the state, for the chicken houses to be supplied water. When you annex property into the town, does that permit automatically go, is it grandfathered in as a approved private industrial well that Aquacon could now use without also getting, like going around the process that you're saying now that they'd have to do?
I mean, from my understanding, and I'd have to look at the well, but it probably wasn't an industrial well at the time it was approved. I think it was just for irrigation, and then maybe just a drinking water well, and not for an industrial facility. But that's something we can certainly look at.
Well,
because if it is an already approved industrial well, they wouldn't have to seek another permit.
Okay. Well, it was reported that they already had a big enough well to supply what they needed from the chicken. I mean, that's just what I've read through what I've...
I don't believe that's accurate.
That's not accurate.
Okay. Information.
Because
right,
they...
So that has not been reported properly. Okay.
Right.
There's three wells on my property.
Right, I was going to say each of the properties, but there's three different properties.
There's three wells on the chicken farm property.
Okay.
The farm that performed that. There's a 10-inch well, 2 4-inch wells on that property.
Okay. And I believe, and again, this is a question for them, but I believe the initial proposal was to use those wells, but they couldn't get enough water out of them, and they couldn't get it recharged fast enough, which is why they looked into other, now they're looking at the 1,700 put down well.
Someone has been digging there for 2 years.
Probably doing test wells.
They were doing a test well. They were supposed to be submitting every so many feet down, they were supposed to be turning information over that they're finding to what's the department? It would be under Maryland Geological Services. They're supposed to be turning that stuff in, which to our knowledge, we don't know whether they have or not. But that was part of the test well. Okay, do you guys, Councilwoman Soule, Councilwoman Linder, do you guys
good.
Have any other questions on this?
No.
Councilwoman Welby, you're good?
I'm good. I think it's important to understand. Aquacon says in their thing, they're going to use our wastewater treatment plant. Mm-hmm. We have received zero requests to use our wastewater treatment plant. For nutrient offset. We have not agreed to allow for the use of our wastewater treatment plant for nutrient offset. So, there's a lot out there, but please understand when we say we have not gotten these requests, you know, Larry's report, we have not gotten these requests, they have not gotten these approvals. So for folks that are out there talking, this is a done deal. This is a done deal. This deal hasn't even started. I mean, so just understand that. There's a lot that the town has to sign off on that we haven't even gotten a request for, that hasn't been heard, that we haven't agreed to. Please understand that. And when you hear people say, town's already said they're going to do, refer them back to what is actually the truth. Because that's not the case at all.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So what would be the stopping point? So, you know, there's all these different various steps that have to be gone through. But who has the final say? They're quoting that because I don't really know the way to present that.
So I don't know that when you say final say, my brain goes to when you say final say, that at some point we have a vote of do we allow them to come or not.
Yeah.
That vote doesn't exist. That vote doesn't exist
right.
for any development. There's no up or down on do we allow you in or not. I mean, if they don't get the discharge permit, that could be a stopping point. If they don't get the industrial well permit from the state, that could be a stopping point. This says they can't get rid of water. Industrial well permit says they can't get water. If they don't get the well permit from us, that could be a stopping point. If we don't allow the wastewater treatment plant, I mean, this is a long process with a lot of things that have to happen. And any of those things could be a potential stopping point. Could also be a potential point where they go back and redesign the whole project because they don't have this piece of it to be able to work it without that piece. that's okay if it makes it safer, more responsible. They don't need to use the creek. Like, you know what I mean? Those can all be positive things too. But there's not a single stopping point. There's not a single, if this happens, it doesn't come. It's a process, and any one of those things could be a stopping point.
But there has to be a starting point. They have to get something permitted to start the process. And what I hear here tonight is it doesn't appear that they've got any of this process started to the point that you're comfortable for anyone else's. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying for rent reserve suspension.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right, we jumped around a lot. We've kind of buried everything, right, except for mayor council action items. I should have checked everything off as we hit them as we bounced around. Next, we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Met with planning and zoning September 22nd, which was last Tuesday, and they were presented with the cannabis MAS, and planning and zoning approved their site plan for demolition phase one. There are several phases. The second phase would be in 2 to 3 years. Like I say again, too, the MAS has requested a joint meeting between planning and zoning, the mayor and council, and I assume it'll be open to the public. I don't know that. Lywood Electric, Board of Appeals approved their variance for their site plan. And last but not least, Wendy Gardner is interested in taking the fifth slot in planning and zoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Sewell?
Mayor Abner and I attended the Taws Crab and Clam Bake last week, and that was we got to meet a lot of different municipal leaders, state leaders, government leaders throughout the state. So that was a very worthwhile afternoon and an enjoyable event. And then I just have a little tiny thing to go on Public Works' long list of items. When you come into town, or welcome to Federalsburg sign, still has our old website on it. So, just sort of making note of that. But that's it.
Thank you. Councilman Phillips?
Nothing other than thanking all y'all for sitting here, because it's a lot better having you sit here than staring at the back wall with nobody in between.
That's for sure.
Please come to every meeting. And I hear more from y'all sitting here than I made this comment a month ago. I've lived here for 53 years. I have very few people approach me in town to talk about something. I would much rather you come here and talk, approach me in town. Let me know what you're thinking, because I don't know what you won or what you're thinking if you don't talk to me. The email's on the web page of town. I'll respond to anything I get. So I wanted to thank y'all for coming.
You don't get stopped at food line?
Once or twice, not very much.
Thanks. Councilman Willoughby?
So first is, if we can, there are a couple spots down on North Main and as you turn up Bloomingdale where the sidewalk is almost impassable from growth and things like that. If Nate can take a look at that. One of them, I think, is just where it's at. It's up on Bloomingdale. There's a fire hydrant, so that automatically lowers the amount of walking space, and then there's overgrowth for folks walking through. But then, to echo Scott's point, I think it is important that you guys stay involved no matter what happens to this discharge permit. That's the... I can hear you. Who said that? Does this make it better? Because now it sounds like the voice of God is over my shoulder. But... okay. All right. So it's important that you stay involved no matter what happens with this discharge permit. Okay? That is crucial. The other thing is,
I've gotten, we've all gotten, there's somewhere out there, there's a petition that has been started, and it is a form letter. It is a form letter about the discharge permit, okay? And I will tell you that every single person that has sent that petition to my email has received a response from me that says, thank you for your information. It, what the petition is doing is it's telling me to vote no to not approve the permit. And I've responded to every single person and said, the town of Fettlesburg will not vote to approve or not approve. That is MDE. Here's how you get involved. Here is Paul's email address. Here is the public comment period. Here, like, so I have sent all that stuff out. Because it's not enough as you hear things. You know, so someone could have sat there and said, I'm going to click this button and now I've done my point. Now I've done my job. Well, you haven't done your job if what you just sent went to the wrong body that doesn't have the authority to deny the thing that you want denied. Does that make sense to everybody? So every single one of them has gotten an email back from me that says, this is how you need to go about it. This is the man's address, email. This is the deadline. Please do that. So please, if you have not submitted public comment to Paul at MDE, you have until October 17th. When you do that, I'm going to give you just a couple. These are just, you don't have to listen to me at all if you don't want to. One, keep emotion out of it. MDE doesn't care about emotion. They care about what's in the permit. They care about the details of the permit. So look at the details of the permit and make sure that your comments are to the permit, okay? The permit is for discharge into the creek. So if you write all these comments that are about bringing in water from the aquifer, that's a different permit. That letter then doesn't make a hill of beans to them on whether or not they pass this permit. So please make sure that your comments are about this permit and that it's not just, I don't like this project, please vote no, or it's not a form letter that you found somewhere. Please make sure that, you know, read the application, understand, you know, what they're asking to do, and respond to that. I think there's a lot of folks that are just, number one, there's a lot of stuff out there, okay? You guys, some of you guys have come to now 3, 4, or 5 meetings. You've heard sort of the same stuff over and over again. Understand what is the truth. Understand what is real, understand what the process is, and don't be those folks that are just clicking a button, shooting something off, and thinking they've done their part. Be educated in this, and if we can help you with that, if I can help you with that, let me know. We'll point you in the right direction. But just make sure as you're getting, the 17th is when those comments are due, make sure those comments are about the permit, about the details in the permit, and not about other stuff that MDE is not considering. Because if they're going to discredit the letter, you don't want to give them any reason to do that by putting stuff in there that isn't germane to what they're actually looking at right now. Okay? All right. That's my.
There's a design of code and usage for the industrial park.
Okay.
And in that design of code and usage says what's allowed in the industrial park and what's not allowed in the industrial park. Could that design of code and usage be amended to prohibit fish farms or fish them from being in the industrial park?
They already added it.
Maybe before.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, there'd have to be a zoning amendment proposed, and at this point, if they're already vested, I mean, it would depend on the circumstances.
There's a possibility.
There's a possibility.
But if they weren't discharging into the Marshy Hope, there might be somebody else who is going to do responsible aquaculture and not need to discharge into the Marshy Hope. So then you would be discounting on a business that was going to be responsible and had plans.
But they're going to have to run pipes across the industrial park if they use that farm that they bought. They're going to have, you know, do damage to our industrial park to get them pipes in there.
That's been annexed.
Huh?
It's probably been annexed because it was a total of 200 acres.
What pipes are you talking about? The discharge pipe itself?
Huh? Do you mean water and sewer connections?
Yeah, where they're going to discharge 2.3 million gallons into.
That's not going through the industrial park.
From their plant to do that.
I believe the proposal is to go down State Highway.
Correct. It's not in.
Okay.
Not across our property.
Which is another permit they need.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that might be something that would help if you just amend the design of code usage and discourage them that much more. It's a thought.
Rob, based on your comments, my understanding is there have been 200-plus people that have signed that petition.
I don't know which one it is. There's one petition that's generating emails. I've gotten, I think, 73.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll be 100% transparent. We were talking about it tonight. Of the 73 that have signed it that have come to my inbox, one is a resident of Federalsburg, we think. Their address that was on there isn't Federalsburg. But we think they live in Federalsburg. No. I understand that. I'm not discounting that.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying, like, Bart, if you've signed a petition, that's not the one that's coming to us.
Correct.
Because we haven't seen your name on it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah.
My point was that the petition that I signed,
right,
that had my name, my address, and my email address, there were over 200 people that had signed that.
Right.
There were probably not that many people that voted in the last general election in the town of Federalsburg.
Correct.
So
that's correct.
There's more interest in this project than there was electing you people for you to sit up mm-hmm. here and advise us how and the best way you can run the town. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, there's obviously some interest in the project.
Sure.
People are concerned.
So are we.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure you are.
That's why there's a letter that says, please deny the permit.
Yeah, and if you deny the permit.
That's MDE, not
MDE denies the permit.
MDE.
If you get to the point where you deny the project in some way or form, councilor, is the town of Federalsburg going to be liable?
That's an open-ended question.
Yeah.
There are a lot of hurdles that
right.
they need to go through,
sure.
that the town needs to approve, and all of it is subject
yeah.
on sound engineering, whether the town infrastructure can handle it, whether it's in the best interest of the public health, safety, and welfare. So it's a hard question to answer. But
you didn't really answer my
That's what I do. That's why I sit here.
Good.
We have a statement
yeah.
that has nothing to do with aquaculture.
Hey!
It has to do. When I push the stroller around town, there's so many sandbirds in those little strips of grass. It comes home with me. It sticks on my pants. Is there any way the town can spray the darn things? I hate them. They hurt.
Me too. And my dog brings them in, and I step on them without socks, and that really hurts. They're called hitchhikers.
Strips, not people's yard. But
right.
Well, so the town has curb to curb. We do not go up over the curb. So if you're what's between the sidewalk and the grass between the sidewalk and the curb,
if we don't scrape the sidewalk.
But you guys own it. But so the challenge is. We've had that where we tried to kill weeds one time, and it got up over the curb, and we killed somebody's grass. So then we had to replant our grass. So
not in their yard, but where the sidewalk, the little strips meet the sidewalk.
That's technically not our property. That's other people's property. So if they kept it mowed, though, then you wouldn't have the sandbirds.
Are you talking about sidewalk strip of grass this
yes.
big, then curb?
Yes.
Or sidewalk little crack curb?
Yeah, like in between the parking lot of Union Church and the road. When they closed our street
gotcha.
For some solo reason, made it skinnier,
yeah.
they put the new sidewalk in, put some grass, and put the curb where
gotcha.
It used to just be a sidewalk,
gotcha.
And that was fine.
Right. Because on my side of the street, it's just a sidewalk and a
right.
curb.
Yeah,
okay,
so
I'm with you.
Don't have to
no,
that.
I'm with you. Okay.
But on the other side of West Central,
yeah.
right.
which I avoid for that reason.
Because of the
yes.
sandbirds.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't like the sandbirds. We'd like to get rid of them all.
I just have a statement. As far as the marijuana plant, I really don't care because I got arthritis. It'd be great. But I really hope that you all. And I don't want
at back Bookham, where I live in. Is there any way y'all can come back there and pick them up?
Yes.
Yes, you were on the list.
I know, I see you back there every morning.
Yeah.
And we got grass going on side of it.
Yeah. Green Ridge, Brooklyn, and the interchange up here, Parkland and Morris, are the three high priorities. Engineer is doing the drawings now, October and chilly, so I hope we don't lose the rest of the fall to get some paving done, because the asphalt plant's going to stop at a certain point. Otherwise, we kick it all over the spring. But those are the three, and they're funded. I mean, there's a plan, and those three are already funded. So,
just so you know, that out of ARPA money, the town got about $2.4 million in ARPA money. The town is spending almost $1 million of that in road improvements. And Back Brooklyn is in that first phase, along with Green Ridge, Morris, and Park. So,
Yep.
That was approved
in
July.
They were priorities.
That was July. We approved that list of roads to be done.
Yeah, again, if you go up to the, and I can shoot you an email, but if you go to the meeting date, there's the whole engineering packet there. So, it doesn't have drawings because it was cost estimate. But it's got the linear feet, it's got the cost estimate, et cetera. So, also, the there's a street plan that was done when Steve Diet was here, went around and inventoried all the streets, I think it was 2018. That's been updated a little bit, but not completely. So if there's anybody who's a town resident who's interested in knowing what the condition of your street is relative to that survey, that's like 80 pages. We can put it online. Help yourself. Right now it's not online, but we can do that, and I understand not everybody's online. So, if you want to come in and take a look at what your particular street is. I live on 300 block of Maple, so if anybody's interested in a bad road,
yeah.
I encourage you to come to 300 block of Maple and take a pick.
Is Maple on the list?
Not first phase.
Not first phase. Because it was by condition and usage. It was a condition and traffic
and
to try to get that done
first. $1 million just on that
yep.
little bit that we're doing.
Because ARPA, we're not going to get another ARPA infusion. So how do we use this money the best way to do the most that we can without a funding cliff? But highway user funds have been restored by the General Assembly over the next 3 years, I think, before we get that done. Because that was a huge cut.
Yes, but that portion of the highway user funds is paying
that's
off a bond to pave other roads.
Yeah, to pave other roads.
So
we've been in contact with State Highway because there was an agreement made in 1990 to where the town would take over State Highway's responsibility for maintenance of some roads that are actually state highways. The town got a whole penny for that back in 1990. It was a sale. That wasn't the smartest thing. So we're trying to work with State Highway about that and coming up with a way that they don't get... We're not going to dig out of this immediately, but a little bit each year means that we can keep it from happening and getting to this point again.
And if we can get State Highway to take over the... there was four roads that were in that agreement. That is not... There are other state highways in town that we are trying to get State Highway to take ownership of that truly is theirs. The ones that are the problem are the ones that are in the letter that in 1990 mayor and council exchanged for, I think it was a dollar, might be a dollar, I don't know, but it was not a good deal. And that was not sunsetted, so we are trying to undo that so that we could get State Highway to take care of all of their state highway roads here in town, not just the ones that are currently, that are still State Highway. Yes,
well, why in the world would the town have taken over that responsibility if it wasn't theirs?
That's a great question.
So we don't know, and it happened in 1990. So all that we have is a copy of a letter. And actually, we didn't really have the copy. State Highway gave us a copy of our letter that was signed by Mayor Kaplan. And it was in exchange for the state to continue to take care of, I believe, the East Central Avenue Bridge. We don't know what led to that. We don't know if the state said, we're going to do this, and the town said, well, no, you can't do that. In exchange, we'll do this. I don't know what led to the letter. So what we're trying to do is undo that letter because it was not sunsetted. And they're actually, I did a map of the state highways, of what currently are state highways, and you would be surprised in town of what actually is a state highway and what has a state route number, and then the four sections of highway that were taken on, that the town took responsibility for, but did not get any increased money or state funding.
How much are we on the hook for, as far as what we have to pay?
Well, previous mayor and council took out a bond for over $1 million to pave roads that we shouldn't have paved that belong to state highways.
So we owe a million, so you're trying to undo something, but are we on the hook for $1 million?
We're on the hook for paying our bond back that was taken out. I don't know. Do you know what's left in the bond?
No, but we have a software now that does.
Right. We have a software now that tells us about all of our debt and how we got there. That was done...
2014,
13? Yeah, it was done a while ago. That bond was taken out to pave some of those roads.
Are we talking about like $10 million?
I think it's 1.18.
Yeah.
It blew on to 1.2, I think. I don't have it in front of me, but
from the state, we get approximately $140,000, and it basically pays the bond debt.
So when do you think that's
going to
be retired?
2027 and 2028. A bunch of debt falls off. So right now I have a graphic. So if you'd like. You'd like to come and see our debt. I can show you our debt.
It's quite depressing.
It is depressing.
But it's really important because right now, interest and payment on everything we've got about $5.5 million of debt outstanding, is about just a spit under $800,000. Now that drops off in a few years when this falls down, so we get down to maybe $550,000-$600,000. Now that's a year. And that's all got to get paid first. So we pay our debts first. Where does the town have all this money? Well, the town has all this money to pay off its debts first, pay off personnel, and then we get to actually doing things. So the particular bonds are, range anywhere from no percent interest to about 3.5% interest. And I can't tell you off the top of my head what this one is. But it does fall off. Bright side is 2034. people love 30-year bonds.
I hope I'm still here. Don't say none of us will be.
I know,
the bonds go off at like 20 and 30 years. Yeah. So,
it's a goal.
By 2034, a lot of this debt's gone, assuming more debt isn't taken on. And we've been scrupulous about not taking on more debt. Old debt road project is more debt. It's $319,000 for a grant, $319,000 for loan, again, over 30 years. So we can handle it. But, again, that's this little bit of debt that continues out there until 2049. It's not necessarily grim, but, I mean, when you look at it, I described it to them as like a Mayan calendar. When you look at it, you see how things change. And the peak of debt drops down, but no time soon. Just saying. That's what we got.
Okay, if I could say one other thing about the Occoquan thing. It seems like the Maryland Department of the Environment approves almost everything. So eventually it's going to come back to you all for making decisions about what you're going to permit and what you're not. So, I mean, this is what I've heard, that they almost approve everything that goes to them.
Well, they've heard a lot on this one, so we'll see what their outcome is. And we are sending them a letter asking them to deny it until there's accurate information and more information. So we'll see what they do with it. But we do have options.
When do we find out?
Well, they have, even the comment period until the 17th, and then they'll decide whether to issue a response. And then, they can hold it as long as they want, really. We don't have a time frame for...
Yeah,
and then we'll issue it.
I guess I don't know whether they could. Could they just hold it indefinitely until they get updated information?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think that if they were going to get updated information that's going to change the text of the permit, they would have to hold another public hearing to receive public comment.
Okay.
But in other examples that I have with them, with discharge permits and public comment periods, when it's a lengthy public comment and they need to respond, they hold the permit for quite some time while they respond.
Okay. Is that it, Councilman Wilson?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Wow, that was all my comments?
Yep.
Attribute that to some other folks.
We're going to Mally this evening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Councilwoman Sewell and I also went to ESAM, which is ESAM is the Eastern Shore Association of Municipalities. It's a place where everybody, like, so on the Eastern Shore, all of us get together. It's quarterly, and we meet with other towns. We have discussions. The last one, ironically, happened to be about water information and water appropriation. So it was very interesting. The engineer that they had there was very interesting. Also, the if you do check coming down Bloomingdale around that corner, they did trim that tree that was way leaning over. Public Works took that one out. It looks awesome when you come around that bend.
But then farther up, it's still
okay. We just need to put it on the list because they took care of the one so that I asked them to take care of. So we were afraid it was going to fall on somebody. It was a very big tree. thank you also to Public Works for helping clean up the marina. When I was down there with them, they went around and pulled out a lot of the grass and like trees and stuff that were growing around the basin. We cleaned up a lot of that. It looks really nice. It looks much better than it did. I'd also like to thank the Lions Club, and Councilwoman Sewell and myself were out there. The moms look really nice in town. They've really enjoyed the rain. That has helped. I don't have to water the Mother Nature takes care of watering them. So the gardens look really great. So I'm very thankful for them for making sure that they, you know, they got watered, because the one week it was pretty dry and they took care of making sure they got watered every day. Bicentennial, we have Fettlesburg is celebrating its 200 years next year. We have lots of activities planned for the Bicentennial year. Our first kickoff event is October 15th at the Historical Society. We are piggybacking off of Heritage Day. If you have not been to the museum, Heritage Day is a great day to check out the museum and hear the speakers. But that night, we will be unveiling the activities that we are doing for the Bicentennial for next year. It is a catered event, so tickets are $30 a person, $50 a couple, because of the caterer that we are having. And then we'll be unveiling all the information and the four core events that the town will be sponsoring for next year. The town is also co-sponsoring a blue catfish tournament. If you fish or deal with anything with the river, blue catfish are an invasive species that were released by Virginia's DNR. They were released decades ago in the James River. Supposedly the catfish didn't like brackish or salty water, and they thought they would stay in the river in Virginia, and they didn't. They have now made their way through the bay up into all of the tributaries. We were at a Sharptown blue catfish tournament, and they pulled a 43-pounder out of the Marshy Hope River. That catfish is also, so the Salisbury group is working with research for the catfish. One of the catfish they have pulled out was big enough to eat an adult wood duck in its stomach, as well as I just had a meeting for the fish tournament last week. And the doctors at Salisbury have now found a bacteria in the catfish that kills other fish, but not catfish. And the blue catfish, the junior catfish, are adapting. Their juvenile are now have a different jaw structure, so they can open their mouth wider to eat more out of the river. So please, if you have anybody that fishes in that river, do not catch the catfish and throw them back. We need them killed and pulled out of the river, because they're eating everything, including the baby sturgeon. So whatever's swimming in that river, they eat crabs, they eat clams, they eat rockfish, they eat anything that is living in that river. They swim along and just gobble it up. So we're in partnership with Caroline County Public Schools, MDE, the VFW, the Auxiliary, and the Lions Club. We are all partnering. They're partnering with us to pull off our first tournament November 5th. We are Tickets are available for, like, captains for tournament entry, and we are also doing a festival that will have free kids fishing derby as well as food. We will be selling blue catfish cakes if you have not had blue catfish. It's actually really good. So we will be doing all of that day. So keep an eye out for the festival details and what we're going to be doing that day in addition for the tournament, and we'll have a weigh-in.
Where do you get the tickets?
They will be posted. I will be posting them which part? Which ticketed event? For the Bicentennial or the Blue Catfish?
No, the Bicentennial. $30.
So we have tickets here at Town Hall, or you can buy them online, but they do have tickets here at Town Hall. You can stop by and buy them.
I didn't have a question about the tickets, but you mentioned something when you were talking about the fish and the geese.
Yeah.
Are we doing anything about them? They are a nuisance. The cemetery, I went out there one day. I know there was 50 there. I was getting ready for a funeral. They're pooping all over the place, as well as flying over my house and making noise every morning and landing in my yard. But is there some way to...
I think
nice when there was just a few.
I think DNR is actually working on a plan for that, because I think, aren't they called residential geese now? Like, they don't move, right? They just stay here. They're not transient anymore. They've, like, come and parked.
And they chase you.
Yeah.
So I'll give you some unofficial advice. Our church had the same exact issue. He couldn't get to church without walking across goose poop in Salisbury. Mm. They bought three things. And they were all identical. They were three decoys of coyotes. And they put them... Now, you're laughing at me. They put them out on a Friday. And from that Friday on, we've seen no geese at our church.
That might not be too good at the cemetery.
Well, I'm thinking. I can especially see the Facebook post now that coyotes have been spotted at the cemetery.
But you put them somewhere outside of it. You put them... Because once they see it, when they're flying, if they see it, they won't land there. I'm just, look, I said it, it might sound ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll bring that up.
But it worked. But it worked.
Better you could borrow somebody's dog. I know the
borrow
golf courses use a lot of
dogs
to keep them out. Yep. So I'll lend you my dog. He likes to run them out of my yard, so he enjoys that.
Okay, we'll see.
Next, I think that's all I have.
That's it.
I think that was it, yep. I will take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you all for coming. It was lovely to have people here.